context, but where I was. A 14-year-old girl in the church who was a born-again Christian. She took an interest in a 17-year-old boy. He had just gotten out of prison. He was a Christian. But her parents were very unhappy about her going out with this boy because they didn't believe that either she was ready for it and that he was suitable. So they forbade her to have contact with this boy. Well, you know, she did not yield. Listen to me. It's a very significant story. She did not yield to the authority of her parents. And so she secretly sneaked around and met this boy. And her parents found out about it. And they were very angry and very upset. And they told her again, absolutely not. They came to me. I spoke to her. I said, you know, your parents, they're the God-given authority in your life. You violate their authority. You don't yield to their authority. And you know who you get in real trouble with? The one that's above them. You don't want to get in trouble with him. What I didn't know, she didn't listen. I went to the boy. I said, you know, you said you were born again Christian. I said, you know, this girl you're taking interest in, her parents don't want you involved with her at all. So you should respect their wishes and their place in her life. And he got angry. And he said, Pastor Rick, I'm going to get a gun and I'm going to come to your house and I'm going to kill you. I said, well, never mind about that. You just leave this girl alone. Leave this girl alone. He paid no attention. They kept secretly meeting. She moved in with him. She ran away from home at 14 and moved in with the 17-year-old boy. Can imagine the parents. They decided to marry. They got married. They had a small child. And this boy, out of prison, started abusing the baby. I'm not going to tell you the rest of the story. What I want to say to you, it all starts with the word yielding. 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 There was no brokenness in him or her. Countless are the number of believers who have said to me, suffering the ravages of bitterness and unforgiveness, I will never forgive that person. And the significant part of their statement is, I will. I make a choice. I make a deliberate choice. I choose an act of my will. I will not forgive. As one man said, no, Lord, is an oxymoron or a contradiction of terms. One of the names of the devil is the spirit of lawlessness. So let's move on a little bit. Yielding to the will of God is more than making the choices to do right and reject wrong. It really involves doing His will with your whole life. You can simply try to be a good person and neglect the very significant choice, the very significant choice to yield to His plan for your life. In other words, yield to your life purpose. Acts 26:19 says, "Whereupon, O King Agrippa, I was not disobedient unto the heavenly vision." Many people across the globe define Christianity as in terms of right and wrong. In fact, many people just think, Ten Commandments, keep the Ten Commandments, you're fine, you're good to go. You can live your life and you're good to go. Oh no. There is a heavenly vision or calling upon every person who's born again. You don't come into the family and God says, "Well, I don't have anything for you to do. You just carry on." Paul says, "I was not disobedient to. I was obedient to. I yielded my will to the Creator, to the Redeemer. I said, 'Whatever, Lord, you have for me to do, I say yes. I say yes.'" And it's so vital to remember this great truth. Christians humble themselves to do God's will with their lives. Whatever is their calling, whatever the calling is on their lives, they bow and submit to that. Some people say to me, "Oh, but Pastor, I'm ignorant. I don't know what God wants me to do." But you know, ignorance is not an excuse that's acceptable. You could go through your whole life and be buried, and on the day of resurrection, come up and meet the Father, and He'll say, "Okay, what did you do with your life? You know, the assignment that I had planned for you, my will, the calling I had on your life, the heavenly vision that I had, what did you do with that?" "Well, I just said no. I just said no. I just said no." Many people don't want to know that God has a higher will for their life than just making a living, having a good retirement, and expiring. They don't want to know that because they secretly suspicion, with a little help from somebody else, that God's will for their life might involve some sacrifice, moving outside of a comfort zone, a whole host of unanswered questions. And that's true. The Bible says Jesus laid down His life for us. So ignorance isn't a good excuse in your life. You need to ask yourself, am I doing His will for my life? Am I just giving a token effort? Am I using all of my skills and abilities for God's glory, or have I kind of pulled back? Have I ever really pursued this thing of, why am I on this planet? What have you called me to do, Jesus? Suck air until I'm 92 and die. No. There is a will. There is a plan. It's not in you. It comes to you. It comes to you. In a moment, I'm going to ask you to listen to the words of a song. You see, more than ever in this house, but specifically for each of us, we need to say, "God, what is your will for my life?" And I know people get bruised and hurt and disappointed and upset for all kinds of reasons, but still Romans 14:12 says someday you're going to give account to God. And you'll say, "Well, why didn't you use the gifts ahead?" "Well, you know, I got upset. I got hurt. I got disappointed. I didn't like this. I didn't like..." None of those excuses will wash. We're required to persevere, trusting Him, so we can finish, like Paul says, our assignment. You have an assignment as surely as you're sitting here. No inventor makes something and says, well, I don't know what it is. I made it, but I don't know what it is. I don't even know what it'll do. I just made it. You'd say, well, that's stupid. As certain as you're sitting here, you can stay in a cocoon, in a cave, in a self-protection zone, whatever it is. But someday God will say, what did you do with what I put inside you? Well, I didn't think I had anything inside of me. And for years, that's what I believe. There's nothing in me. I don't have anything. I don't, God knows that I must be useless material because I don't believe I have any reason for living. Thank God he didn't leave me there. And he won't leave you alone until you say yes to his will, till you yield to his will. So part of humbling is yielding to the will of God. Say, Lord, I'm not certain I've captured everything you want for my life. I'm not certain I have participated most fully in your call on my life. I'm not totally certain that I'm giving the best of all of my abilities for the glory of God. You know, I was reminded about James and John. And I finish with this. James and John in the Bible, two of Jesus' disciples, worked with their father Zebedee fishing, in the fishing business. They went to work every day, casting nets, bringing fish. I don't know if they cleaned them or not or gave that to somebody else, but that's the business they were in. One day, Jesus walks by just like he did with me and he did with you. He walked by and he spoke to them. Jesus walked by and he spoke to them. And the Bible says he said two words, follow me. Oh, more than two. Follow me and I will make you. Follow me and I will make you. Then he told them what he'd make them. I'll make you fishers of men. And you know what the Bible says after that? Immediately. Everybody say immediately. Immediately. How many Christians embrace immediately? You know, they should have said, well, wait a minute, Jesus. You know, we just met you. And so you're asking us to leave our employment. You know, what are we going to do for finances? What are we going to do for looking after our family and the pension? And, you know, 3 months' notice. Who's going to help our father? We're leaving our father in the lurch. You know, his two best employees, his two sons. You know, will we even inherit the business? I mean, we're going to follow you. I mean, what are you doing? Where are you going? What kind of money do you have? I mean, they could have had 1,000 questions that you and I in this modern age would have had. But the Bible says, immediately they left the boat and followed him. All right. Close your eyes and listen to a hymn. Actually, you can open them. We're going to put the words up as well. As many of you who were...
You have longed for sweet peace.
That's not the beginning. Maybe it is the beginning. Go ahead and put the words up if you would.
You have longed for sweet peace and for faith to increase and have earnestly, fervently prayed. But you cannot have rest or be perfectly blessed until all on the altar. sacrifice laid. Your heart does the Spirit control. You can only be blessed and have peace and sweet rest as you yield Him your body and soul. Would you walk with the Lord in the light of His Word and have peace and contentment always? You must do His sweet will, to be free from all ill. On the altar your all you must lay. Is your all on the altar of sacrifice laid? Your heart does the Spirit control. Sweet rest as you yield Him your body and soul. Oh, we never can know what the Lord will bestow of the blessings for which we have prayed. Till our body and soul He doth fully control, and our all on the altar is laid. Is your all on the altar of sacrifice laid? Your heart does the Spirit control. You can only be blessed and have peace and sweet rest as you yield Him your body and soul. Who can tell send from above, and how happy our hearts will be made. Of the fellowship sweet we shall share at His feet, when our all on the altar is laid. Is your all on the altar of sacrifice laid? Your heart does the Spirit control. You can only be blessed and have peace and sweet rest as you yield Him your body and soul.
Stand to your feet. I'd like you to come and kneel at the front here today as we reconsecrate our lives to His will. Just move right up and find some place to kneel. If it won't be long, so your knees will not complain. before we're done. If you're older and you need to sit on a chair, that's fine. If you don't have any knees, that's fine. Just take a minute before I pray to reconsecrate your life to Him, and if it's in your heart to yield to Him and to humble yourself through yielding, then you just tell Him, Lord, I want to yield to You. Father, we come to You in this holy moment in our journey as Your family. And we confess today what You said before going to the cross, not our will, but Yours be done. Lord, we know that what You put in us is of You. It's a portion of Yourself. You put in us holy things and precious things and powerful things and amazing things. And often, Lord, we have failed to both discover it and use it. Sometimes, Lord, out of ignorance or fear or willfulness. But Lord, all of our excuses, we rubbish them. We put them in the bin. We would be totally yielded to Your will. We thank You, Lord, that when we yield totally to Your will, You bring us revelation we never would have gotten. You open doors for us that never would have opened. Simply because we humble ourselves through yielding. Lord, help us all to subscribe to the heavenly vision, the heavenly calling. Whether it is reaching others in our workplace or taking up some ministry or serving in some capacity that has eternal value. Lord, our desire, our supreme desire, above all desires, is to do Your will. We often tell You what we want. But Lord, above that, we want what You want. We want what You want. And so today, Lord, we bow before you and before all the angels of heaven and the saints that have gone before us. Lord, many that we know, we bow before you and before all of them. We say yes to your will. Look upon us today on this Sunday, this pivotal Sunday in our church history and our personal history, and grant us grace and revelation in these new days to walk in new ways, to walk in revelation and obedience and fruitfulness. Thank you for being such a wonderful, loving Father. Thank you for helping us in this fasting season. May we even hear more from you in the next 2 days and beyond. In Jesus' most precious and powerful name. And everyone said, Amen. God bless you. Hug 9 people.